20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for taking some time to join me today. The Green Bay Packers, your Green Bay Packers, are officially headed to the NFL playoffs, and they received a Christmas gift on Christmas Day from the unlikeliest of sources. The Minnesota Vikings gift the Packers a playoff berth on Christmas by defeating the Detroit Lions in a unexpected and surprising outcome, to say the least, in a bizarro game in which offense was abysmal. The Vikings couldn't do really anything on offense. Brosmer looked rough, and Jared Goff somehow found a way to look worse, just turnover after turnover after turnover. And about 17 turnovers later, Green Bay, again, heading to the playoffs, maybe not the way that we would have drawn this up as an ideal situation. You know, there's a couple weeks left for the Packers still to play. They had multiple different ways that they could get into the playoffs, but again, by all situations imaginable, the Minnesota Vikings pushing them into the playoffs is not one that I necessarily would have expected going into this week, even much less going into this season. There was something poetic about the fact that Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones in back-to-back weeks end up helping out the Packers and getting Green Bay in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, and the Steelers beat Detroit a week ago, and now Aaron Jones and the Vikings beat Detroit to officially send Green Bay to the playoffs. Certainly, again, something a little bit poetic about that. Once a Packer, always a Packer or something. Obviously, the Steelers were trying to get in the playoffs on their own, and I don't think the Vikings nor Aaron Jones certainly were looking to do anything for Green Bay, but it ended up coming across as a playoff berth for Green Bay, and we'll take it by any means necessary. What that game did, and again, in a beautiful sort of way, is it clinched a playoff berth for the Packers. It eliminated the Detroit Lions from playoff contention, and it moved the Minnesota Vikings, at least for now, from 13th, if they would have lost this game in the NFL draft, to 17th. This is a pretty beautiful gift overall from the NFL after a couple weeks where it's just been really tough for Packers fans. Again, we got an assist from the unlikeliest of sources again in Minnesota, again, which sent the Packers to the playoffs, the Lions out of the playoffs, and the Vikings down, you know, from 13th to 17th in the draft order. I'll take that. It was a weird, bizarro day where, and I'll put it this way, not necessarily cheering for Minnesota, more cheering against Detroit, but in a roundabout, weirdo, bizarro way, cheering for Minnesota in this game to beat Detroit and ultimately have these things happen. It's not how I generally like to spend my Christmas, is, you know, cheering for the Minnesota Vikings to beat anybody, but all's well that ends well, I guess, and getting those three outcomes for Green Bay, not the worst case scenario in the world by any stretch of the imagination. Here's what it does mean for Green Bay moving forward. We're going to take a look at a couple things today. It's going to probably be a little bit of a quicker episode. We're going to look at the playoff seeding and scenarios for the Packers. We're going to look at the updated injury report and then some news and notes surrounding the team. But I want to look at these different playoff scenarios first. I had an opportunity to run through a bunch of these so you can kind of gauge what's at stake for Green Bay the remainder of the season. But we now know that the Packers are for sure in the playoffs. That's step number one done. The NFC North is still on the table. Nothing has changed about that whatsoever. The same outcomes that needed to happen before still need to happen now. It doesn't change anything with the Lions and the Vikings game. Green Bay still needs to win both of their games, and the Bears need to lose both of their games in order to win the NFC North. By the way, that does not necessarily clinch them the number two seed. They need a Philly loss in order for that to happen as well, but they can still win the NFC North with two Packers wins and two Bears losses. If Green Bay wins and Chicago loses this week, all right? So if Green Bay wins and Chicago loses to San Francisco, everything's still on the table in week 18. Because in week 18, then, if Green Bay wins their game against Minnesota and if Chicago loses to Detroit, and now you're looking at it, you're saying, well, after seeing Detroit these last few weeks, who have lost three in a row, four of their last five, I don't have much faith. Are they going to really lose four in a row to end the season? And I'm sure they're going to want to get that taste out of their mouth. I'm sure they're wanting, you know, ending the season with a win, if nothing else. And I'm sure they'd love to spoil the Bears' chances too of winning the division. I'm not going to say I'm going to necessarily predict it anymore after seeing the Lions in these, you know, specifically this game, but the last few weeks. But if, again, Green Bay wins, Chicago loses to San Francisco in week 17 this week, week 18, everything in the division is still on the table for you. A win against Minnesota, Detroit beating Chicago, and Green Bay still becomes NFC North champions. So if those two things happen, all hands on deck still for week 18. If, however, either Green Bay loses to Baltimore or Chicago, in fact, beats San Francisco, you have a bye week in week 18. And as Justice Mosqueda pointed out on Twitter, we're just at this point trying to avoid the rest versus rust discussion that's ultimately going to take place if that situation comes to fruition. It's no debate for me in this scenario. Green Bay has had a billion and one injuries. They are not healthy. They desperately could use an extra bye week. Next week, if, again, for some reason, Chicago beats San Francisco or Green Bay loses to Baltimore, you go to Minnesota and you take that as a bye week and you get healthy and rest as many players as you can. No two ways around it. I will understand the conversation of, hey, do you really want to go into the playoffs losing four in a row? Because they will have lost in that scenario to Denver. And then, of course, you have the huge loss last week to Chicago. And then you would lose to Baltimore. I guess theoretically they could beat Baltimore and San Francisco could you know lose to Chicago. But you know, assuming Green Bay loses to Baltimore and that's how they get to that spot, do you really want to lose four in a row? I don't care, whatever that scenario is. By all means, get healthy, rest players, and get to that playoff game, which we'll go over in all likelihood would be in Chicago. Just get to that game as healthy as possible. Winning against Minnesota does you nothing. So that's how I would view that. Again, if Green Bay wins, Chicago loses, game on in week 18. You're playing your starters. You're trying to win the NFC North. If Green Bay loses in Chicago or Chicago wins, one or the other, then you basically have that bye week in week 18, or at least you have the ability to treat it like a bye week if you want to. All right, so here's their chances of getting each seed percentage-wise for the remainder of the season going into the playoffs. They have a 0% chance of getting the one seed. It is no longer a possibility. They can't get the one seed. They cannot get a bye. They have a 7% chance of getting the two seed, a 5% chance of getting the three seed. These are all per the New York Times and The Athletic, by the way. They have a 0% chance of getting the four seed, less than 1% chance of getting the five seed, although it is possible. We'll walk through that in a moment. A 9% chance to get the six seed and a 78% chance to get the seven seed. For any of those who are wondering, hey, does this mean that Green Bay is going to be extra cautious against Baltimore? I don't think so. Maybe there's a player here or there that is like a Zach Tom, for instance. If Zach Tom is truly like a game time decision, maybe you know have a little bit of extra caution. But for the most part, there's 2 weeks left in the season. You're still battling for an NFC North spot. I think you're playing this one out, trying to win it. I just think it's that simple. I don't think there's any real thought of sitting players this week. Again, next week may be something different, but I don't think you're there in week 17 at this point. So again, 0% to get the one seed, 7% for the two, 5% for the three, 0% for the four, less than 1% for the five, 9% for the six, and the overwhelming odds, 78%, is that they get the number seven seed. Here's how that works. 7% chance to get the number two seed, right? We talked about, you know, how Green Bay can do that. Here's the exact scenario. Here's how they get the two seed. Packers have to win both of their games. Bears have to lose both of their games. And the Philadelphia Eagles need to lose one of their games. That's it. Packers win both, Bears lose both, Eagles lose one. If that happens, that's how Green Bay gets to the number two seed. So that's probably best case scenario. That's what you're hoping for. So it's a five-leg parlay. And by the way, Philly plays Buffalo this week, I believe in Buffalo. So if that happens where Buffalo wins that game, which is more than possible, again, like the crazy thing is Green Bay's favorite against Baltimore. They're going to be favored against Minnesota. Chicago is an underdog to San Francisco. The Eagles are an underdog to Buffalo. Now you still have to have all four favorites win. And then the big one is Chicago-Detroit, which I don't know where odds makers are going to have that next week, but Chicago's probably favored. Chicago is probably favored, but it's not the craziest five-leg parlay you've ever had in your life to get the two seed. So 7% chance, that's the exact scenario. Packers win 2, Bears lose 2, Eagles lose 1 of their next 2. Green Bay has, as I mentioned, a 5% chance to get the number 3 seed. How that works is Packers win 2, Bears lose 2, Eagles win 2. So Eagles have to beat Buffalo. That's the only change there between the 2 and the 3. Packers still have to win both. Bears still have to lose both. But instead of the Eagles losing 1, the Eagles win both. And in that scenario, Green Bay gets the number 3 seed. Again, a 5% chance. Here's your crazy scenario to get the 5 seed. It's less than a 1% chance of it happening. The Packers have to win both of their games over the Vikings and the Ravens. The 49ers have to lose both of their games to the Bears and the Seahawks. All of that so far is not super crazy, right? Although the 49ers are playing well. The hard part about this and why it will not happen is the Rams have to lose twice. And the Rams' two teams that they play are the Falcons and the Cardinals. There's been a lot of shocking stuff this season that's taken place. I would be pretty freaking shocked if somehow the Rams lost both of their final games to both the Falcons and the Cardinals. That would be a pretty crazy collapse for the Rams at the end of the season. And even if somehow the Rams lost both of those games, Packers still have to win both, and the 49ers still need to lose both of theirs. So the odds, again, as I think the New York Times appropriately has it, less than 1% chance. The 6 seed, again, a 9% chance. There's a couple different scenarios. The very unlikely one is Packers over Ravens, Falcons over Rams, Packers over Vikings, Bears over Lions, Cardinals over Rams, and the 49ers winning one of their final 2 games. Why this is unlikely is the Rams have to lose twice again. I just don't see that happening. There is one, however, that's not super far-fetched, which is why this is a 9% chance. Packers over Ravens, Bears over 49ers. All right, that's not brutal. Packers over Vikings, Seahawks over 49ers, and the Rams beating either the Cardinals or the Falcons. So Packers win twice, 49ers lose twice, and the Rams get at least one win over the Cardinals or the Falcons. That happens. Then they have the opportunity of getting the 6 seed, again, a 9% chance overall. And the number 7 seed, again, 78% chance, is basically any other scenario than what we just discussed. Any other scenario, and they get the 7 seed. And that's why it's such a huge reason why they're at 78%. Right? There's so many different ways that you could get to that number 7 seed, but it's by far and away the most likely. We'll be right back. Hey friends, today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the holiday season, the best time of the year for sports, because right now we have bowl games, marquee basketball matchups, playoff pushes, and it's all happening right now, all at once. And while you and I are out making decisions every single day, like which gifts to buy, what to get for dinner, which game to watch, there's only one place where it feels good to be right, and that's Prize Picks. And I love how simple Prize Picks is to use, and more importantly, how fun it is to play. This football season's been even more fun with Prize Picks, and getting my picks in for each slate of games has been a super fun part of my football experience. Oh, and guess what? Prize Picks has a brand new feature, early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. So join the millions of users and sign up for America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going with Jaden Reed to put on a show against Baltimore as Green Bay tries to clinch a playoff berth. I'm also looking for big games from Ashton Jeanty, Matthew Stafford, and Bijan Robinson. Now it's time for you to get in on the action as well. Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. All right, so quick question for everyone. What's better, giving the perfect gift, getting the perfect gift, or making that perfect holiday meal for everyone when you're hosting a big holiday dinner? I go back and forth, but my true answer is giving the perfect gift. Well, the best part is that with Omaha Steaks, you can give the perfect gift, you can add it to the top of your wish list this holiday season, and you can order up some delicious Omaha Steaks to cook your family and friends for your big holiday dinner. It's a win-win all the way around. Now, I love how convenient it is to order Omaha Steaks and how much people love receiving them as gifts. I recently gave some steaks as a gift to a family member, and they were beyond overjoyed. It was a pretty cool moment. also cooked up some Omaha steaks, and that was a pretty cool moment as well because they were absolutely delicious. And right now, it's the perfect time to save on delicious gifts and holiday hosting favorites. Surprise your friends or family members with the gift of grass-fed, grain-finished beef from a family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. So save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code PACKADAY at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com using promo code PACKADAY. Well, all right. Well, that's great. What does that mean? Who could they potentially play? Let's go back. If they get the two seed, which is again a 7% chance, 7% chance to get the two seed, they have a 97% chance of facing the Bears at home and a 3% chance of facing the Rams at home. But again, it would take two Rams losses in order for that to happen. That's not going to happen. So if somehow Green Bay does catapult and get that beautiful scenario, Eagles lose to the Bills, Packers win both, Bears lose both, they're in all likelihood going to be facing the Chicago Bears at home, Lambeau Field, wild card round, Packers the 2 seed, Bears the 7 seed. And again, a very small chance they could face the Rams at home if they got the number 2 seed. If they get the number 3 seed, which again, 5% chance, 5% chance to get the 3 seed, they have a 47% chance of facing the 49ers at home, a 34% chance of facing the Seahawks at home, a 17% chance of facing the Rams at home, and a 3% chance of facing the Bears at home. So while it's cool that you get the 3 seed, you win the North, etc., you're probably facing a pretty difficult team at home, either the 49ers, Rams, or Seahawks. Which team that is could go in a variety of different ways, but most likely the 49ers, followed by the Seahawks, followed by the Rams, and a very small chance you could face the Bears in that situation. If you get that crazy less than 1% scenario where you're the number 5 seed, you're going to be facing either the Panthers or Buccaneers, whoever ultimately ends up winning the NFC South. If they get the 6 seed, and I'm not going to go over the crazy one where the Rams lose twice, but the one that actually seems somewhat plausible, Packers over Ravens, Bears over Niners, Packers over Vikings, Seahawks over Niners, and Rams winning one of their final two at least. In that scenario, they have a greater than 99% chance of facing the Philadelphia Eagles at home. So if they get the 6, almost surely going to be facing Philadelphia. And if they get the 7, there are a ton of different outcomes. The Bears and Eagles are by far and away the most likely. Bears being the most, Eagles being the second most. But you could theoretically have scenarios where the 49ers, Rams, or Seahawks are the number 2 seed in that world. That's what you're looking at. So many different scenarios, so many things still to play out. They could, again, be the 2. They could be the 3. They could be the 5, the 6, or the 7, with the 5 being extremely unlikely and the 7 being very likely. And they could face anyone from really the 49ers, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Bears, the Eagles, and even one of the NFC South winner. Literally everything is still potentially on the table, except they can't get the 4 and they can't get the 1. Those are the only things that are off the table at this point. They have a variety of different teams that they could play, including every team that is in the NFC playoffs. They theoretically could play in the opening round, and they could get anything from the 2, the 3, the 5, the 6, or the 7 seed. There is where your playoffs, you know, odds and standings and everything else are and likely matchups are at this point in time. Choose your own adventure on what you want to happen from here on out. I think most people want to see the Bears, hopefully as the Packers with the 2 seed and the Bears with the 7, but there's a very strong chance it's the Bears with the 2 seed and the Packers with the 7. And again, the overwhelming likelihood is that the Packers are the 7 seed going either to Chicago or to Philadelphia. All right, let's get to the Packers and Ravens injury report. If you thought all that other stuff was big news, there's big news regarding this game as well. Lamar Jackson did not practice again, and he is doubtful for the game. All indications are that Lamar is not going to play in this one. You never know. He's an MVP, doesn't necessarily need to practice, but that doubtful designation is probably pretty telling. Lamar Jackson, probably out for this game. Tyler Huntley, the quarterback, a good opportunity for Green Bay to keep the pressure on Chicago and have them have to try to get a win against San Francisco to seal the NFC North, at least for this week. Taven Bryan is out. He's coming off of injured list. Jay Higgins, the 4th, is questionable. He's coming off the injured list as well. So the big one here to know for the Ravens is Lamar Jackson, who in fact, again, is doubtful. The Packers have two players who are out for this game, Christian Welch and John Williams. John Williams, of course, on the injured list, physically unable to perform. He's out for this week. Then you have, I'm going to give three different designations for questionable for Green Bay. Questionable players who did practice were in limited capacity. Jordan Love, Evan Williams, and Malik Willis. Huge news here. Jordan Love seems to be trending in the direction of playing. Still has to clear concussion protocol. That's not done yet, but he seems to be trending in the right direction. Malik Willis also returned to practice. He seems to be trending in the right direction as well. So great news for both Jordan Love and Malik Willis. And again, Evan Williams practicing is huge as well, especially as they get ready for that Ravens rushing attack and Derrick Henry. Having Williams at that safety spot would be huge. So good news there for Green Bay. Love, Williams, and Willis were all limited in practice. And again, while being questionable, did still practice on Thursday. There are three players who did not practice who are listed as questionable, but with illnesses. Bo Melton, Sean Ryan, and Christian Watson. Hopefully they're able to make it back in time. Especially Ryan and Watson would be pretty big losses, especially the week that Ryan had a week ago. If you didn't listen to my grades episode yet, definitely make sure to go and do so. But those three are all with illnesses. Now, to be fair, Christian, and Sean Ryan both have other injuries. We haven't had a report on if they were missing due to the injury or the illness. It's easy to jump to the conclusion that it's the illness. I'm assuming that it's the illness, but we don't 100% know for sure. But those are questionable players who did not participate who also happen to have an illness. And then there was one questionable player who did not participate and did not have an illness, which is usually not a great sign, and that is Zach Tom. So I would assume that Zach Tom is going to be out this week. I think Sean Ryan, Watson, and Melton with just illnesses hopefully are able to go. Willis, Love, and Williams, probably Evan Williams, that is, probably more, my guess is Willis is good. I think Evan Williams probably is going to be good too. Jordan Love is just whether or not he clears protocol, but it seems to be trending in that direction. Should be noted too, Green Bay made no transactions this week, so they didn't add another tight end or anything like that. Should also be noted that Josh Wiley, their other tight end, is back and off that injury report. So at least not having a designation for the game. So that's a good sign that they're going to have that number two tight end. There are a variety of different call-ups. I should add as well, if you were hoping for Mercedes Lewis, he did get signed back to the Broncos 53-man roster. So he's no longer available to be signed off the Broncos practice squad. But the big thing here is that they did not make any transactions. And so they're going to have some interesting situations. They have four potential spots where they could need a call-up. Linebacker with Christian Welch. Jamin Johnson has been the player who's come up in that situation recently, actually played on special teams. So you'd assume that Jamin Johnson is getting called up for this one for Christian Welch. You would think that they'd want that third tight end this week, either McCallum Castles or Drake Dabney off of the practice squad. But it should be noted that just last week they went with only two tight ends. So it is possible that they'd go with just Musgrave and Wiley. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they'll activate one of those two tight ends. But again, we just saw him a week ago, just roll with the two tight ends. If either Willis or Love can't go, then Clayton Thune would need to be activated from the practice squad. Clearly, Green Bay thinks one of those two QBs is going to go because otherwise they'd just be down to Thune. And I can't imagine that they would do that in that scenario. So that's probably a very good sign. But if they are either being extra cautious or if they, if they don't think one of them can go, then Clayton Thune would be activated. And then the other one is if Zach Tom can't go, which is likely, and Sean Ryan can't go with the illness, in that scenario, you need to bring up an extra offensive lineman as well because you'd only have seven otherwise, and you really want to go into the game with eight offensive linemen. So there could be four call-up scenarios. My guess is that Love and Willis are going to be good to go, and you don't need Thune, and that Sean Ryan will be able to go, and you won't need an offensive lineman, and it'll be Jamin Johnson and either McCallum Castles or Drake Dabney that get activated from the practice squad this week. One last piece of news and notes. Malik Willis, per Dan Graziano of ESPN, several teams have their eyes on Willis as a potential quarterback one solution. Several teams. I think that's probably going to seal the fate for Malik Willis leaving Green Bay in the offseason if that's the case. Green Bay probably not going to be able to compete with money, and Green Bay probably not going to be able to compete. Well, I know they're not going to be able to compete with a starting caliber position, or at least the opportunity to compete for one. And that's going to be probably the end of the Malik Willis era in Green Bay. So just something to think about there as well. That's all I got for you today. Again, nothing super crazy from like a main topic standpoint, other than the fact that Green Bay clinched a playoff berth. There's a variety of different scenarios, which we outlined for you today. Injury report, Lamar is out. Seems like Jordan and Malik are trending up. I should note as well, Josh Jacobs, no designation whatsoever. So he's good to go. And again, we'll have to see what happens in this final week seven, or I guess penultimate week 17, to see what Green Bay wants to do, whether they're playing for the NFC North in week 18, or whether maybe they shut some guys down and get that bye week and get ready for week one of the playoffs, that wild card round. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weiss, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhart, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, and Jake Kohner. I'll see you guys for happy hour later today, 3 p.m. Central Time. See you guys then. But until next, as always, go Pack, go.